KAB has one single band member, Kevin Button. It's good to have you back on The Antidote, Kevin.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be back. Slightly different capacity this time.
It's true. And I guess I should tell everyone how you and I first connected. Back in 2023, Bemusri came for a talk, and you're a part of the band and that interview. So now what I need to know is which came first, KAB or Bemusri?
Bemusri was definitely around way before KAB. That kind of existed as a band before I joined. It was around for a good few years, kind of as a local band thing, while they all were at university.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something I joined later on myself as their drummer. But the origins of KAB began probably about 6 months before I joined Bemusri as a drummer. So in terms of my input into that band and the early origins of what became the KAB music thing, there wasn't much in it, to be honest. Yeah. Around the same time, funnily enough.
Well, that's the thing, because KAB isn't a repeat of Bemusri. I mean, this is your own thing. So does KAB scratch your creative itch?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I got to exercise my creativity in Bemusri, but mostly from like a production perspective. I was heavily involved in the production and the producing of the music, but the majority of the music did exist before I became a member of that band, whereas KAB is very much my music created kind of out of me. So yeah, very much a more specific, authentic kind of solo project thing, if you like. More so actually my focus now than Bemusri. I'm slightly less involved with them these days, but you'll still see me live playing with them, usually on drums. No, this is definitely my like main creative outlet for sure.
I think I should tell you that I've met several multi-instrumentalists. I do think you beat everybody. I mean, here's the list. You're doing the vocals, but on top of that, you handle electric and acoustic guitars, sequencing, synths, strings, percussion, mellotron, organ, bass, and vibraphones. Do you not have any limitations?
Oh, I have plenty of limitations. I can't play half those instruments very well. Stuff like the mellotron, most of that's like programmed in slowly onto the computer using like a MIDI keyboard, and then I enhance the sound to make it sound like what I want it to later on. And to be honest, the xylophone stuff is also digital as well. But I definitely have limitations as a musician, for sure. My theory's not very good, to be honest. I do have a master's in music, but that is not my strong point. Being technically brilliant at any one of those instruments isn't necessarily how I think someone would describe my approach. But yeah, it's a fun opportunity to explore different instrumentation. But I think a lot of it comes from like my ear to produce.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I am disappointed by is that you're not playing the accordion.
There's probably not quite a song that I've written yet that's suitable for it, but I'm open to it.
Well, we've got to talk about what you've done. KAB's debut release, Pause Reflect, came out at the end of 2023. You know, I really can't give it a defined label, but I guess what I can say is that I find it captivating and diverse. You brought in so many music styles. Was that intentional?
Yes, it's intentional in the sense of I see it as like just an organic expression of my musical identity. But I do find it quite difficult to identify KAB in terms of the music or the style that we are. At the moment, we're using words like, well, we're an alternative rock band or an alternative progressive rock band. But I think it's so varied in genre approaches and different types of musicality as the songs develop that, I do find it difficult to pin down, but it feels organic, it feels authentic based on what I'm trying to write in the moment and then how I want to bring what I've written out through the soundscapes that are then created using instruments, whether there's xylophones, guitars, bass, drums, you know, or different approach to vocals. But I think what you're hearing in Pause Reflect is really the experimental side of me, because it's the debut album and I'm figuring out what my sound is as I'm writing. But in a weird way, I'm kind of pleased with the running order of Pause Reflect and how each song flows into one another, because whilst it is quite varied in styles and tastes, in my mind anyway, conceptually and thematically, it kind of flows and it's still somewhat, hopefully, a unit and not just a blend of unconnected ideas, hopefully. That's the goal.
It also keeps it interesting. Well, the first track on that release, Pause, Reflect, Transform, lays out this album as a Christian music project when it says, "In his presence, chains come undone." But I want to take that song title out of context, if you don't mind.
Yep.
You and I both live in a busy world. I mean, really, it's too busy. How do you take time to pause or reflect, let alone transform?
Difficult. And increasingly difficult, I'm finding, even for myself. I think in my head, I'm slightly inspired by the kind of road to Damascus encounter that Paul has in the New Testament in Acts. And I view that song, Pause, Reflect, Transform, as kind of three sections. The first is ethereal, disconcerting, spacious sound. It's calming, and yet you feel uneasy. And I think what my version of pausing, reflecting is the idea of someone kind of coming to the conclusion that they're not that quite satisfied with how their life is going. Mm-hmm. And it may not be a literal physical pausing of that moment, like, okay, all my responsibilities of life, all my busyness, that just needs to stop right now. It's not necessarily that, but I think an internal going, I'm not content right now. Why am I not content? And of themselves, they start just asking some of those questions. Why am I not content? What is uneasy about my life right now? How can I pinpoint certain things that aren't quite sitting right? And that's where the reflection kind of comes in, which is where you get those chords and the melodies a bit more. And there's a bit more of a standard sequence happening, but it's still building. And I think in his presence, his chains come undone. It's this distant voice that's calling. And then it turns into the final part of that song, which is the idea of the encounter and the transformation as a result of that encounter. How do people, we do that as believers? How do people do that in the society? Is our society and our daily lives set up to allow us to have 5 minutes to even think that way? It's a hard question to answer. I think it's actually getting increasingly more difficult. And even once you have had that initial encounter, then the transformation begins. But then how do we continue that pausing and reflecting and transforming and that kind of working our salvation out with fear and trembling, that kind of approach? How do we do that? I don't have the answer. It's difficult. I don't want to go for this generic Christian answer of going, oh, you just need to make time. Just make time, cut time out and make sure you're praying, doing all these sorts of things. I don't often think the answer is really that simple. We all have different lives, different responsibilities, different tragedies, different circumstances going on. Yeah, pausing, reflecting. I think it's essential for us all to do and to continue to do, but it's not easy to do it in our society at the moment, I would say.
Well, here's something else for you to reflect on. That album was your first release, and you did it by yourself. Do you prefer doing everything on your own?
There are certainly benefits to doing certain things on your own. It's funny, you introduced KAB as a solo project, and it is, in a sense, that the core movement of the band, the music, that does all start with me. But you're seeing the credits for Pause Reflect. There is a large amount of people on different songs, even if it's a small backing vocal part, or it's a guitar solo from a guest friend of mine, or most of the bass playing is my friend Rowan, who I do consider part of the KAB band. Anytime we play live, he will be there with me. So there are limitations to it, but the positive for me being able to do it on my own is really just being able to dig deep and grind into the creative process, understand my creative process, exercise that, get it down onto a Logic Pro session, get the song structurally out there, and then start building it like building blocks. And being able to do that on my own, I find very therapeutic and fulfilling. If you're in a band like where I am with Vermoosery, it's a bit more of a democracy. Especially if you're co-writing songs with other people, then everyone has an equal input, but that can slow the process down. So I like doing the majority of the foundations of something in KAB, whether that's a song, a live performance, a piece of marketing content. Ugh, I hate the word content, but you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to be able to start all those things from a place of kind of my own origins and what my own vision, but then being able to bring people into that to help realize that vision and basically improve what was already there is a really beautiful thing. So I do see KAB as a fairly collaborative project all the same.
You know, in an abstract way, that sort of ties into the following song on the album, Break These Chains. The first verse is, we are drowning under the waters of the pressures of life, deceived by the one who will bound us unto death. I do get that, but really, aren't most of these pressures self-inflicted? But I want to know, how did Satan come into it?
Interesting. Any pressures that I put on myself for KAB are definitely self-inflicted, and I don't think they're necessarily directly linked with Satan. But that's an interesting connection to that phrase. I think what I think of with those pressures of life is just kind of this westernized society we live in and the social structures around us that aren't really built up to cause us as a society to thrive. There are just so many things in place that I feel like box us in as people that trying to operate within that can be really pressurized and can be really detrimental to our health unless we have help, unless we have community, good friendships, relationships as well. To me, I think the way I look at the world is quite bleak and quite dull. So I see a lot of, and my own personal wrestling is with things that I would deem as quite dark, restrictive things. They can be self-inflicted, or the origin of that could be more to do with like what the Bible describes as the ruler of this world, right? And I think Break These Chains is, as a song, is just this idea of, hey, I'm sharing the reality that we live in a society that's quite pressurized, and we're hoodwinked into escapism as a coping mechanism. But that's not necessarily a fulfilling way to deal with that pressure. And so when you get to the chorus of Break These Chains, I'm going, please break these chains that bind us. Whether they're self-inflicted chains or chains that circumstances or other people have caused us to kind of get attached to, or maybe it's a generational thing, family issues, you know, you name all those chains. I have my own chains that are in my mind when I sing that out. So Break These Chains, and it's basically a cry for help, a prayer of going, man, we need these chains of Babylon to be broken so that we're free and that we're living freer than we are if we're stricken down by those pressures of life, and allowing ourselves to continue to be deceived into a kind of pressurized, divided world that we so often find ourselves in, I think, is probably my thinking there.
Well, you know, as I've been listening to all the songs found on Pause Reflect, it does look like this release carries a theme.
Yeah. It's not a concept album, but there's definitely a flowing theme. In my head, it's all to do with a protagonist, except maybe Prisoner's Voyage. Prisoner's Voyage is very much the song of the center of the album, the longest song. That's very much based on the shipwreck story in Acts, but I've taken some poetic license with that story. So in my mind, that song deals with a specific amount of characters that are unrelated perhaps to the other songs. The way that I view the story that starts before Prisoner's Voyage and the story that continues on the back end of Prisoner's Voyage is just the story of a protagonist who is going through different points of looking out to the world or looking into in of himself and weighing that up with where he's at in his faith. And that protagonist is probably me, more that I reflect on it, no pun intended. But something like Break These Chains, very much a prayer to see certain things shifted, to see those chains broken for good. Hypocrites going, oh man, I really see how I can be a Pharisee in my thinking and in my doing, but more so I can also see how the world, and Christians included, can be incredibly hypocritical.
As I said earlier, KAB really brings in a wide range of styles. I mean, some of it's kind of 90s indie rock, others are a bit experimental. The Prisoner's Voyage is totally prog rock. Something else about it is that it reminds me so much of Pink Floyd. Has that band played an influence on you?
Massively, massively, massively so, yeah. Yeah, I've not really ever heard it come through my music until I wrote that song, and even I can't deny the connection between that song and Pink Floyd. Particularly the middle section, I find people find the most comparable to Pink Floyd.
It's exactly,
yeah, yeah. It blends a few different approaches. You've got these big crunchy drop D chords, which isn't necessarily something you would associate with Pink Floyd, and this kind of anthemic thing, but there's a lot of drawn out psychedelic ish just certain approaches to that song that are certain characteristics that you would 100% associate with Pink Floyd. I'm not going to even begin to deny that.
You know, what's important to know, has Pink Floyd called you begging to let them use that song?
No, they haven't. I did see David Gilmour live last year in October, and that was incredible. I felt like a real privilege to be there. I managed to last minute get very cheap tickets, like £30 tickets for pre-show rehearsal type performance. But it ended up being the full show with full production. He played the full 3-hour show. So I got everything. It just so happened it was just me and a few other 100 people in this smaller room watching the band perform a dress rehearsal before they went out to do the full tour. But that was incredible. And I think the way that David Gilmour's performance and the band's performance and the music kind of affected me that night, it just reaffirmed. It's like, I can't necessarily always put it into words, but there's something about David Gilmour's approach to the guitar and just the compositions of Pink Floyd that just speak to me in a very specific way. And I find that quite exciting. And if something like Prisoner's Voyage is a little bit more perhaps on the nose, like, oh, that's so obviously inspired by Pink Floyd, I don't mind that. And it's connections and moments like seeing David Gilmour in concert where I go, oh, I resonate with this music. So if that comes through in any way through what I'm doing, then great. That's that. I'm totally fine with that. Unless I'm ended up plagiarizing them or something.
It's definitely not a negative to have Pink Floyd influence. Then have there been other artists who've played an influence on you?
Yeah, for sure. Metallica are a big one. If we're going to go more down the metal route, there's not like loads of perhaps metal moments on the Pause Reflect album. I mean, there's certain like heavier moments, but you wouldn't necessarily, I think, go, oh, this sounds like Metallica. But they're a huge part of my growing up. Queen, a massive influence. Muse. Biffy Clyro, Stephen Wilson, Porcupine Tree, Canada's own Devin Townsend is a huge influence as well. Rush. I mean, I could name them all really, but those sorts of bands, Mastodon, a huge, just bands that get me really excited. And I think most of those bands I've just mentioned as well, that they tend to do something quite different per album or per song sometimes on an album. And I think I quite like that. I like to be surprised. And most of those bands are quite melancholic as well, which I think also plays a part in my influence. Yeah, definitely those guys.
A little bit earlier, you talked about some of the fellows that you would bring in for playing a live show. So what is a live show with KAB like?
Hopefully energetic. You'll often see us not wearing all black because that's what most other metal or local rock bands do. So we want to try and be a bit of set apart from that. We're 5-piece live? 6-piece? Let me do a quick count. So there's myself, who's on guitar and vocals, but then I pull in two other guitarists. So my friend Dylan, he tends to play the thicker stuff, the heavier stuff. And then Joel, who is the guitarist from Vermoosery, he will play live and he tends to take some of the higher lead stuff. And I'm doing the sort of the mid-range big chord stuff and take a few solos myself. Then there's Rowan on bass. And then Dan on drums. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it's a 5-piece live, no live keyboards, even though there's some keys in the music. That's something I'd definitely like to do at some point, but we haven't got the budget for that at the moment. But we're playing locally mostly. We've played some slightly bigger stages, but most of the time it's quite small club type gigs. Mm-hmm. So, well, we're based in the West Midlands in the UK. So there's quite a bit of a punk scene going on. There's a bit of an indie rock scene. We don't necessarily fit into that, but often you'll find us on bills where there's a bit of crossover into that. The metal guys tend to like us. I would like to do some more metal gigs because I think people appreciate a night of metal being broken up a little bit rather than just screamy metal band, screamy metal band, screamy metal band, screamy metal band. I think if you put someone like us in between that and just give everyone's ears a bit of a break and slightly different approach, but hopefully not.
Gives you some breathing room.
Yeah. I find those sorts of gigs a bit of a challenge, but that's fun. It's a good challenge because then you're trying to win people over a little bit. And I'd love to do some more sort of metal gigs. Some of the newer stuff we're working on is a bit heavier as well. So, and I like a lot of metal music myself, including a lot of the screamy stuff. I enjoy a lot of that as well. Energy, lots of guitar solos. We like a big wall of sound, trying to bring the intricacies of the music that's on the album live. My band are excellent. They are all pretty incredible musicians. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I wanted to hear from you about your shows. because you also put out a live version of the debut called Pause Reflect Live. The thing is that it includes a song that wasn't actually included on the studio album. So where did Agitated come from?
Agitated is actually a Muse song, so that's actually a cover. It's just a little tag line that we put onto our live shows right at the end. We've been finishing most of our gigs with Never Said, just like the album. And I just wanted like a big riffy end, and I enjoy the kind of unhingedness of Agitated. So we take just the first verse and the main slowed down riff from the Muse song and tag it onto the end of Never Said. But yeah, risky to put out a live album pretty close to the release of the studio album, but I think I wanted to present the music in a different way and go say to people and go, well, here's what this music sounds like when all these different people are playing the different parts and it's not just me. Hopefully that album that we released, the live album, captures kind of the energy. I mean, it's very raw. It's mm-hmm. And it was taken from our launch gig as well when we actually released the Pause Reflect album. But it's kind of a companion piece is the way I view it. And then so, yeah, that Agitated end is just a sort of a glimpse into the way we take the live show. It gets a bit heavier, a bit more unhinged, a bit more energetic. It's a bit noisy, very riffy. I think our bass player puts on an extra layer of overdrive on the last breakdown bit. And it's just a way of kind of finishing up and saying, thanks everyone for coming, remember us, have a good night kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I've got a few other ideas of how else we might want to end our shows with another nod to another one of my influences. So it won't always be Agitated by Muse, but it might be, you know, a snippet of a Metallica song or a snippet of a, I don't know, a Led Zeppelin song or something, you know, just something mm-hmm. a little fun that people recognize and you kind of bring the crowd back together right at the end of the show.
Something else that's a little bit more raw is the new single that KAB brought out last August. I mean, Wave After Wave is certainly more hard rock than anything else you've done. It's got a rough story, too, all about trying to break out of an addiction and returning to faith. Rust from elation, I'm stuck in my ways, can't bear this disillusion from making the same mistakes. What was it that inspired that song?
I think mostly what inspired it was just some personal gripe, kind of addictive habits that I struggle with myself, and bringing that to the song. That's definitely where it started from. I kind of view it as a similar prayer-like declaration to break these chains, but perhaps it's a bit more of a lament than something like Break These Chains. That it's less hopeful and it's less conclusive at the end, but it's very raw in terms of where I'm coming at it from. I won't like dive into nitty gritty of that, but it's where I've almost kind of paused and reflected over my life and gone, oh, why have I built up this bad habit in my life? And I know it doesn't do me any favors. It probably doesn't do anyone else any favors. I really want to see that gone from my life, but it just doesn't seem to go. And it can be quite self-inflicted. So, but I think Wave After Wave is like, it starts there, but then it's like, well, if you're trying to go through that, but then this thing happens, and then this thing happens, and then this family member's become ill, and then this friend is going somewhere else, or whatever it is for anyone. Kind of that idea of like, that feeling of anxiety and fear and stress when it's just wave after wave, time and time again, of like a pile up of not great circumstances or issues. And it's like, ah, this is my kind of like, please pull me out of this, stop the waves, because I can see how I'm rusting away. I'm beginning to kind of lose hope, probably more in myself necessarily than in my faith, but it kind of touches on those kinds of themes. Does that kind of make sense?
It does. It also makes it sad. Sad, but it's true.
Hmm.
Something else I'm interested in hearing about is the future of KAB. What are the plans?
So I'm working on new music. I'm kind of always working on new music, but I've got quite a few songs on the go that thematically sit with Wave After Wave quite a bit. And it probably is, to be honest, a bunch of songs that are a bit more along the lines of laments, and they don't have a hopeful, conclusive end. And I think that's okay. And I grapple with that because I'm like, oh, what are people going to think of me, you know? But it's authentic and it's honest. And I think sometimes as Christians, we don't like to sit in the lament too much. And creatively, we don't want to put something out there. I particularly worry, I don't want it to come across as whiny, but I want it to come across as honest. So the next bunch of songs I'm working on are themed around this idea of having a bit of a crisis of faith and having lots of questions that just aren't answered. Mm-hmm. And songs that deal with walking through the storms, and the storms just aren't calming, whatever those storms are. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, because not always storms are calm. Often they are, but sometimes they're not. And so that's the next batch of songs. Wave After Wave nods to that. It's funny because Wave After Wave, musically, it's quite fun to play. You've got kind of this funky, dare I even say, slightly disco-inspired guitar groove.
For
but
sure.
Then these really big, melancholic power chords that come underneath, and suddenly the chord progression's not what you think it is. And there's almost a tension there. And I think that's what these next batch of songs, for me, are like. They're musically quite fun and hopefully engaging. But the themes are very much along the lines of questioning, laments. And we'll get to the hopeful stuff later. We are getting there. I'm working on a companion piece of songs.
You mean you're going to stop being melancholy?
No, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. But basically, I'm writing a lot of songs that, for me, fit into this idea of question, fight. Previously, we've got Pause, Reflect. Now we've got Question, Fight. So a bunch of songs that deal with questioning things and not necessarily getting the answers. But then the fight is the choosing to fight to keep the faith, regardless of whether those questions have been answered and regardless of whether all those storms have been calmed or not, because that's a really important place to get to, I think. And so I'm really excited about the new music. I'm not sure when it's going to come out yet. I've got a few single ideas that I could drop, but I don't want to just drop it and, like, you know, a small amount of people hear it and then it just sort of fade away again. I kind of want to create a bit of a journey with the next batch of music, but I am really excited by it. I'm very much in creative overdrive mode at the moment, and any spare time that I've got, I'm very much creating and writing and trying to finish these next batch of songs off. So yeah, I'm excited. Despite it being lamenting and a bit sad in places, I am very much excited about it, and it feels right, feels raw, feels authentic, feels good.
Well, I'm going to be excited to hear it. Kevin, I really appreciate having this talk with you about KAB. So listen, have a good time making the new music, and be sure to keep in touch.
Thank you, I shall do. Yeah, thanks for having me.